Welcome to a webcast series on human performance interventions brought to you by the University of Missouri. My name is Elliot McClelland, and with me is my co-host John Wedman, Director of the School of Information Science and Learning Technologies here at MU. Our goal in this series is to help equip people with the tools and skills needed so they can get the most out of the people and organizations they work with. Today we're going to look at outsourcing, and our guest is Dr. Judy Hale from Hale Associates. Dr. Hale has written a chapter on this topic for the Handbook for the Selection and Implementation of Human Performance Interventions entitled Outsourcing, a Resource Utilization Strategy. Welcome, Judy. Judy, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got involved in this topic?
Certainly. Well, actually, I've written a whole book on the subject. But how I got to write the book and how I was eventually asked to write this chapter was the fact that over the years, I helped organizations develop certification programs. And interestingly enough, more and more of them are looking to certify what we call their aftermarket partners, the people that they outsource to either handle sales, service, calibration, maintenance of ongoing products. So they had already outsourced before the term outsourcing is used. They call it contracting with aftermarket partners. And they had already started the process of putting in criteria for how to, one, pick the right best ones and continually incent them to do brand protection, do the work right the first time. Because they saw the factor that those aftermarket partners actually reflected on them, on the total manufacturer's brand. Well, it was because of that experience that I was asked to write a book, because I couldn't find somebody who would actually set up criteria and things like that. And I used that opportunity then to interview a number of companies that outsource not just training and development, but a lot of different things, to find out what worked, what didn't work. And I also talked to firms that were the outsourcers, you know, people who provided that service, to find out what they needed, what made life difficult for them, what made for a successful relationship. And then Doug and Ryan asked me about this new handbook. And a lot of people don't think of outsourcing as really an intervention, and it is. And they said, would you be willing to do that? And that led me up to that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, Judy, this is John Wedman. I want to follow up with that. You know, we hear the term outsourcing all the time in the news, but it's usually just in that common sense, we're taking some process and handing it to somebody else, some other organization to do. But you use it in the context of improving performance. Could you tell us what your take is on outsourcing and how you use it as a performance improvement intervention?
Well, first of all, the term outsourcing comes with connotations. It actually means contracting with another organization to provide services that you don't want to do yourself, okay? But we've always done it. We've contracted with people. We just didn't call it outsourcing. So companies would manufacture something, and then they would contract with somebody else to sell it, service it, implement it, install it, maintain it, et cetera. We have been contracting with services to do call centers and all kinds of things. So the term outsourcing, how I actually emerged by the companies that want you to hire them to do your outsourcing. They were using that term to somehow distinguish themselves from general contractors, people that just contract for services. And they were saying that we actually do more. We actually can help. We bring greater vision. We bring special expertise. And it was really, the term outsourcing was tied to call center work, HR work, human resources, transactional work, you know, as payroll, benefits, things like that. It's later merged to more strategic things, such as recruitment, hiring, and training and development, things like that. So the term outsourcing was actually a term coined by the companies, the contractors, to say this is our business and how to distinguish themselves. They were also trying to allude that outsourcing was a permanent solution, not a short-time solution. So companies regularly contract services to solve an immediate problem for maybe for a period of a year or something to get something up and running. Whereas the outsourcers are saying, hey, this is a strategic decision not to do this yourself, but to only rely on an external resource. So that's how that word evolved, and that's the difference.
Okay, but how does that tie into being an performance improvement intervention?
Well, how it does as an intervention is that companies have to make a decision about who they're going to develop. How are they going to invest funds to stay current, keep a workforce capable? And it becomes an intervention because what it is, you're saying, I'm not going to develop my own people. I'm going to contract with an organization that has already proven that they have capable people, and I'm going to use their services instead. So the intervention is actually a resource utilization strategy. So companies have to build people. They have to build capability. And they ask the question, which among our workforce, different groups, which capability do we want to invest in, and which capability do we not want to invest in? And the ones they don't want to invest in, then they hire that out.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. And, you know, when you think of it from a pyramid, performance pyramid perspective, it fits nicely into the resource block, the way you described it, at HELP.
Right.
From your experience, when is outsourcing most valuable to an organization?
There's maybe a couple of times. One is when you want to do something and you really do not have the internal capability to do it. You don't have the technology, you don't have the people with the expertise, and you say, wait a minute, we want to invest differently. We don't want to invest in that. So it's really smart to do that. So what happened in the learning and development world, they would outsource. Companies didn't have the capability, for example, to do distributed learning, to maintain host major servers, to have online learning, things like that. And they didn't want to invest in that. They didn't want to invest in people's ability to build it, create it, support it, sell it, maintain it. So that's an example of you don't have the capability, you need it, so why not buy it? Okay?
Okay.
Another one is when you look at your overall personnel costs and you want to reduce your personnel costs. When you bring something inside, you not only have salaries, you have all the retirement, health insurance, you have facilities, you have a lot of ancillary costs. So the total cost of employment is significantly more than salary. So when you want to either reduce that or you don't want to increase it, but you desperately need capability, that's another time to outsource.
Are there times when outsourcing is a bad idea that, you know, in general, no matter what you do, don't do outsourcing when, like, you're a startup company, or is there any times when you shouldn't do it?
I think there absolutely. Outsourcing, there's one of the biggest things I caution people is that if you outsource a capability, you need to understand that outsourcing is, in fact, a contract. All contracts expire by definition. So you need to ask yourself, if you do not renew that contract, do you have the capability of replacing that service or capability?
Okay.
And so it also the issue is that I will tell you some of the failures in outsourcing are dealing with people who have outsourced something, and the outsourcing firm actually developed intelligence about the product processes. And when that outsourcing firm was let go, that intelligence left with it.
Yeah.
So the company was very vulnerable. It had no one internally who knew its products, processes, things like that.
Is that company still around?
But after tremendous cost of rebuilding that, yes.
I would imagine. Are there some specific types of performance problems that outsourcing seems to address particularly effectively?
I think it tends to address tasks that are what we call transactional, repetitive. The success is very mixed at best when it comes to asking outsourcing real strategic issues or issues about building relationships with key customers. That's something you want to keep inside. But if it's payroll is a very successful outsourcing story, okay? It's transactional. It's just keeping data records and things like that. And the company itself maintains a copy of that, so they're able to, if they want to replace the outsourcing firm, it's not a big deal, okay? But it's really not intelligence about people, processes, products,
okay,
you know, customers. So those kinds of, in learning and development, the development of training programs is much better, lends itself to being outsourced, not their design. I think design should stay inside, and development can certainly go outside.
Mm-hmm.
And delivery can go outside, too.
One of the things we all experience is call centers that have been outsourced and offshored. Are you seeing any kind of pushback on the outsourced offshore call centers?
Absolutely. There are companies that are called bringing that back inside. And part of it is the outsourcing firm's ability to instill confidence in the customer. We're talking about basic accuracy, and we're talking about language proficiency. Now, countries like India, by the way, offshoring is the word for outsourcing, but it means you contract with a service that's not in your country.
Okay.
Okay, so it just means you're going out of country.
Okay.
And we tend to think it was offshoring because in the United States, that tends to be across an ocean, but it could be down in Mexico. Okay, so it doesn't always have to have a body of water involved. But anyway, what happens is that there are companies that are revisiting that and starting to bring it back in because the language proficiency is required. So you call up somebody and, let me back up. I was telling the story about India. India is investing lots of money in developing English proficiency in its workforce and learning all kinds of jargon, colloquialisms, and things like that so that they can come across as not as one of those people, but instead somebody who works for the company. So the biggest issues with offshoring are mostly complaints by customers that they can't understand the people, they don't feel understood, and inaccuracies because the customer uses colloquialisms to express their problem, need, or request.
Okay. We've hit on some of the advantages and limitations of outsourcing. What are some of the big wins when you outsource? What are the real advantages of doing that?
The real advantages have to do with savings in employee costs. Those are huge. If you have something that's resource intensive, which a call center is, a resource intensive, and you look at, say, we're going to do that here, you look at property costs in the United States, you look at employee costs, I'm sorry, those are significant, there are significant savings by not doing those in the United States,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So, similarly with manufacturing, you can manufacture sub-assembly parts, or small parts, and then they go to sub-assembly. It's the same thing. It's property costs, it's local tax costs, and it's employee costs, and those are big savings. Now, eventually, interestingly enough, I was talking to someone about buying an American-made car. So what makes something American-made? Interestingly enough, Japanese cars are more American-made than American cars because Japanese cars have more parts built in the United States than American cars. So if you have to ask yourself what constitutes American versus what constitutes foreign.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm asked to answer your questions about advantages and limitations. It really comes down to money, and it comes down to what it's going to cost to develop and establish those resources here, stateside, we'll call it.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
It looks like a good place for us to wrap up today. But before we go, Judy, what advice do you have for those who are considering outsourcing?
My first advice is to be very clear on what the business problem is you think you're solving. Secondly, be sure that you have really good vendor management skills. It's naive to think you can just outsource and then ignore them and just pay their bill when it comes in once a month. It takes very good vendor management skills, meaning very clear expectations, building very clear protocols for ongoing engagement.
That's great advice. I'm sure our listeners will find that very useful. Again, I'm Elliot McClelland, and I want to thank my co-host John Wedman and my guest Judy Hale for their time today. I also want to thank our listeners for joining us, and I invite you to listen to other webcasts brought to you by the School of Information Science and Learning Technologies at the University of Missouri.